The sense of being one with things brings safety and absence of threat. If harboring threat inside us is what gives rise to aging, then we cannot afford to live with our present fear of death. In actuality, death is not the all-powerful force our fear tells us it is. In nature, death is part of the larger cycle of birth and renewal, a transformation into different configurations of energy. To break free of the fear of death, you need to see that it is based on a very selective view of reality, which was conditioned into you before you had a conscious choice, trained into you by well-meaning parents. It isn't death that is hurting us, but the dread of its inevitability. Aging reminds us of death. Therefore, it forces us to look into a gap that was opened in childhood when the first cherished thing in our lives died. You may think that death is an awful event waiting for you in the future, when in actuality, parts of your body are dying every second. Your stomach lining has to partially die every time you digest food, only to be replaced by new tissue. The same is true of your skin, hair, toenails, blood cells, and almost every other tissue. You may think that death is your enemy, but all these cells are dying to keep you alive. If your stomach lining didn't die and get replaced over and over, gastric juices would dissolve a hole in your stomach wall, and then all of you would die. The line between what is living and what is dead gets very blurry the closer you look. Muscles have a faster metabolism than fat. Brain, heart, and liver cells rarely, if ever, duplicate after birth, while stomach, skin, and blood cells replace themselves in a matter of days, weeks, and months. Some people recoil from all this talk about death. They don't fear death, they say. Yet, unconscious forces are at work in us. We may all concede that we are going to die, but except in moments when we have to be present with the dead or dying, our dread is kept under wraps. The fact that we all protect ourselves from dread doesn't mean that we have control over it. From within its dark pit, fear is still exerting control over us. The point is not that death is a fiction, but that our belief in death creates limitations where none need exist. One assumption people often make is that death is somehow unnatural and by implication evil. I cannot agree. Nature is very tolerant and flexible about how dying is used or not used, and questions of good and evil tend to look rather arbitrary. DNA long ago discovered the secret of creating ageless cells. The Hydra, for example, is a primitive water animal that can grow new cells as fast as old cells are shed. The Hydra is always growing at one end and dying at the other, renewing its entire body every 2 weeks. This is creation and destruction in perfect balance, leaving no room for death. The secret of eternal youth, then, is a balanced metabolism, a constant chemical flow that processes food and air and water in perfect equilibrium without losing a stitch to entropy. Even among higher organisms, DNA exerts considerable control over death. The common honeybee, for example, can change its age at will. Every bee is a worker in its youth, then grows up in a few weeks to become a mature forager. Should the hive lack workers, some foragers will reverse their ages and become young again. They regenerate the hormones of youthful workers and even regrow the special glands needed to produce food for the hatching larva. With only slight changes, one could use this model for the human body. It is a mammoth hive of 50 trillion cells, which grow old or stay young, according to what is needed by the whole colony at a given moment. Dying is a form of change, and as such, it has to be seen within the larger framework of non-change. How then can we learn to live within this continuity that is the wholeness of life? What about a parent's emotional devastation when a child dies, or a wife's when she loses her husband? These feelings are natural, of course, but the pain does not have to be enduring if you have absorbed the reality of life as an eternal flow in which there is no loss or gain, only transformation. In one of his sonnets, Shakespeare wrote, "I weep to have what I fear to lose." This is the inevitable result of attachment to time-bound awareness. The new paradigm holds that awareness is the source of reality, and two wholly different kinds of reality result from time-bound and timeless awareness.